Good morning, everyone. It is good to see everyone here. And the visitors that are with us today, we're so grateful that you've come our way, that you've taken time out of your schedules, out of your travel, and decided to worship with us this morning. It is an encouragement to us, and we pray that we are an encouragement to you today as well. One of the most interesting things that I see within Scripture is the subject of sacrifice. I see it beginning back in Genesis chapter 4. I see it revealed to us throughout Scripture. And so when I consider that, one of the most interesting aspects of Judaism is just that. It's that system of sacrifices utilized in their worship of Jehovah. And you think about that for just a second, and you think about everything that it entailed. You think about the animals that were involved, the cattle, the sheep, the goats, the doves, the pigeons. There were even flour and grain offerings, oil offerings, wine, and vegetable sacrifices. Some of these sacrifices were dependent upon the ability of the individual, whether they were rich or whether they were poor. In some cases, instead of offering the cattle for a sacrifice, they might offer a dove or a pigeon, depending on the sacrifice that was involved. Sacrifice has been something that you see throughout Scripture. And you think about that, burnt offerings, the skin was taken away, the priest would eat some of it. Go to the book of Leviticus. If you want to know about Old Testament offerings, spend some time going through the book of Leviticus and listen to how Moses records there the specifics for the sacrifices that are involved. You'll come upon the grain offerings. You'll come upon something that's called a heave offering. And if you've never heard of what a heave offering is, I encourage you to look to it, because sometimes you'd be surprised the position of the sacrifice that was offered too, when it was lifted up. Who could eat what? What belonged to God? What belonged to the priest? Sacrifice is mentioned, and there was a lot involved under the old law. They were accustomed to making daily offerings. They were accustomed to make offerings that doubled up on the Sabbath. They were accustomed to making offerings at the new moon, the first of each month, the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Day of Atonement. Sacrifice was a very, very important part of their lives. It was integrated into their daily living. It was part of their thinking. It was part of the way that they showed honor to God. These sacrifices then were designed to stamp a consciousness of sin into the hearts of those people. It was to remove their sins on their hearts. So the people of Israel did this regularly. I look at this, and they were also a foreshadow of what we have in the New Testament. A foreshadowing of Christianity that would follow, that is culminated in the death of Jesus Christ. The greatest sacrifice of all. And so it all pointed to the Lamb of God. When you look at John 1 and verse 29, you think about what is stated there, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We commemorated His death, His burial, and His resurrection this morning in the bread and the fruit of the vine. We come together on the first day of the week not only to do that, but to glorify God. And whether we realize it or not, we are offering up to God sacrifices on this day, even though they're not animal sacrifices. We have spiritual sacrifices that we're giving to Him now. And so I want us to consider this morning that when we're pointing to the Lamb of God, that which we should value in ourselves and in one another is the dignity of God's image and the great price at which we were bought. And that we as children of God offer up sacrifices to Him even today. So the title of our lesson, Our Sacrifices, what are some of them? What are some of the sacrifices that we give to God? And what I want you to do is I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 15. And I'm going to read a couple of verses there because we'll come back to Hebrews chapter 13 a little bit later in this lesson, even. But in Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to read verses 15, 16 together. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now, I want to say something. That when we talk about sacrifice in this particular sense, what we're talking about is what we're offering up to God. And the Hebrew writer here is talking about our praise and our thanksgiving. I think about that in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. It pleases God when we offer the sacrifice, the fruit of our lips. Now, I want to suggest that this is more than just, as Cindy would say, saying words. Because sometimes that's all we do is we say words. Sometimes we forget how to use our words. Sometimes we use too many words. Sometimes I'm accused of using too many words and keeping you here longer than you're comfortable. But think of it for just a moment. What have we done this morning that qualifies as the fruit of our lips? Those things that we have offered up to God. Well, one of the things that we have done is we have sung. We have lifted our voices in praise, and what we have done is we have lifted our voices in a way that we are offering up to God that fruit of the lips. It is supposed to be a sacrifice that is pleasing to God. And I consider that when I think about Paul and Silas as they sang praise to God, and they were in prison in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. But if you go over to Ephesians chapter 5, you immediately see there within that context that the Apostle Paul refers to our singing. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 19. Where he says, speaking to one another. We even do this to one another. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You see similar words in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's just part of our sacrifice of what we've offered up today in our worship together. We've also offered up to God prayer and thanksgiving. I love the tenderheartedness of the prayers that Joe leads, as he did at the beginning to begin our service this morning. I love to hear people praying about our Savior and the body that was hung on the cross for us, and the blood that was shed. We offer up thanks of remembrance of his death. We offer up thanks for the blessings that we have. We offer up thanks for one another. But when we are doing those things, if you notice, prayers and thanksgiving are mentioned in conjunction with praising God. In both of the verses, both texts, Ephesians and Colossians. But we do it without ceasing. We offer up prayers to our God. God wants us to be thankful and wants us to express our gratitude in prayer. One man said it this way, prayer requires more of the heart than of the tongue. But at the same time, it is the words with which we're expressing the fruit of our lips that goes up. Remember David in the Old Testament? How thankful a man that he is. Turn to Psalm 103. You turn over to Psalm 103 for just a moment and you listen just to the first couple of verses. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. What you end up hearing is, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits." See, the thankful heart does not forget about God and what He has done for him. And when we offer up the fruit of our lips in prayer, we should never forget the thanksgiving that should accompany it. Think about the Apostle Paul for just a minute as an illustration of a thankful man in the New Testament. A man that was imprisoned. He prospered. He was in want. He knew what it was to have and to be in want. Paul, though, through it all, endured and was thankful to God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 18, he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It's important to us to look at sacrifice. It's more than just giving something up. We're not just giving something. We're offering up to God what we've done. And our sacrifice, if you go back into the Old Testament and you compare what took place there, you think about why. What was one of the reasons possibly for Abel's sacrifice being acceptable and Cain's wasn't? Well, let me suggest this. Cain offered a sacrifice that God wanted and desired. I mean, Abel offered the sacrifice that God wanted and desired. Cain did not. Sacrifice then were to have blood, and Abel obviously offered a blood sacrifice. But today, when we offer sacrifice, blood has already been shed for us. The offerings that we give to God are ourselves. Just like what should have been given under the old law was to be of our very best, when we offer the praise of the fruit of our lips, it should be our very best. Suggest something else. In our reading from Luke chapter 6, the suggestion there that rang through that particular context was the idea of doing good. Doing good in our communicating together, the fruit of our lives, is something that we offer to our God. We show gratitude to God by doing good for our fellow man. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16 again, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." In a country right now that is completely split, or not, maybe not completely split, but is divided, contentions that rings among one another, what's surprising to me is that I'm seeing the same thing that is happening even among those who claim to be Christians. Being on polar opposite sides of things and being divided. And sometimes the discussions, the communication that takes place is less than civil. And yet we should be loving our neighbor as ourselves. We should be caring for one another. Part of that is in our daily living is representative of what God desires for us. In order for us to be Christ-like, we must do what was said about Him in Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, that He went about doing good. It reveals to us that we actually belong to God when we take the time to care for others. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. 3 John verse 11. It's important for me to understand that I can draw a conclusion from this that Paul makes in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, where he says, "Do good to all men." I know he qualifies that a little bit and how we should go about this, that first off, our first concern should be with our brethren. But the concept of being good to all men is set forth right there. So going back to Luke chapter 6, especially verses 33 through 36, we have this idea then that we need to be able to even seek out those opportunities to do good. Doing good, though, includes even helping our enemies. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 in the Sermon on the Mount, "But I say to you, love your enemies." Now that's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 as well. "But love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." doing good and communicating properly is practicing what we commonly call that golden rule. But we're offering these things not just to one another. When our lives are such as they should be, it also goes up to our God and Father in heaven. So someone might say, well, I can't find anything to do good to somebody, for somebody else. Let me suggest this. Don't be found guilty of being like the goats that are mentioned in Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 45. You remember in Matthew chapter 25, there were those who were divided to the left and to the right. And those on the right were commended because they saw, or Christ was talking and said, you saw me naked and you clothed me. You saw me hungry and you fed me. You visited me while I was in prison. And they said, when did we see you do like this? And all he said was, when you did it to the least of one of these, to one of my own. When we take care of one another, sometimes praying for one another demonstrates how we love one another and care for one another. Sometimes doing what we can when we know that there's a need. But what we need to be doing is not waiting for someone to tell us what to do. We should be seeking those opportunities. And I think when we consider all of that, you know, when someone asks you for your coat, what do? Give him your cloak also. Go the extra mile. I truly believe that in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, also what Jesus is stating there in Luke chapter 6, which is a reflection of those same words, that what we need to be doing is we need to become second mile Christians. Have you ever thought about that? Going 1 mile with them, but go the next also? To be able to live lives that truly represent God, are truly representative of the Savior who went about doing good, we need to be looking for those opportunities on our own. But what I also want to suggest to us this morning is not only do we care about others and offering to them, we offer to God our own lives as living sacrifices. The Christian life, being one of sacrifice, involves our surrendering ourselves to God. And really, this is where it all begins for us. We surrender ourselves to God when we are obedient to the gospel. We surrender ourselves to God, having come up out of that watery grave of baptism, in that newness of life that He has offered to us, and we begin a daily journey. One that is just that. It is a sacrifice to God. One that is not conformed to this world. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And you end up seeing there, what are we supposed to do? Well, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your, what? Your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Well, I do know this, that under the old law, sacrifices were to be without spot or blemish. I do know this, that as a child of God, when we submit to His will and we've come up out of that watery grave of baptism, at that point in time, we are again without spot or blemish. We begin that life anew. We are to offer to God a holy sacrifice. One that is acceptable to Him. And what I really look at in this verse is the last few words, which is your reasonable service. I get this thing going in my head every time I read this verse and look at it. It doesn't matter how frequently I do. I always come back to the same thing. Reasonable service. Has God ever demanded anything of us today in the 21st century that is unreasonable? Shake your head, no. He doesn't. Why is that? Because what He is asking of us should not be a burden to us. The only time it is ever becomes a burden is when we make it a burden. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to live our lives in such a way that we can. Such a way that is, when people look at us, they will be able to say, yeah, they're a Christian. They're a child of God. We'll talk about B.T. Davis for just a second. He came into my life about 39 years ago. Just before Cindy and I got married, I met him for the first time. There was never a time that when I came to the South Broadway congregation over there, that he did not greet me with a smile, a handshake, more often than not a hug. He was a brother in Christ. And I saw the Savior reflected in his life. B.T. and Edna always had a garden. And there were times Cindy and I would come down from Edmond, Oklahoma, or when we were out in New Mexico or Texas. And sure enough, if we came during the summer, when his crop was being picked, we came home with tomatoes or okra. He expressed a love. He gave to others. I know that his life was a living sacrifice. And when we talk about those who have passed from this life, we look at and want to reflect on what they did. And you think about it, when we start talking about all the things that bring joy to our lives about the lives of those who have lived before us and have now gone on before us, what are we representing? What are we showing? We're talking about the living sacrifice that they offered to God. By presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, it means that what we are trying to do with our lives is we're trying to avoid sin. The one thing that can keep us out of heaven. The one thing that can prevent us from living eternally with our God. We are trying to avoid it as much as possible, and as within us, we fight it with every fiber of our being, and it involves our bodies as instruments of good in the service of God. So as Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 13, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. See, if we become slaves to sin, then we are no longer a holy and acceptable living sacrifice to God. Rick, you mentioned our bodies being the temple this morning in Bible class. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, we're told that very thing, that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are to glorify God in that body. The eyes and ears, being the gateways to the heart of men, must be guarded so as to prevent the world around us from corrupting the heart. It means sometimes what we have to do is we have to go back and remember that little song that we sang as children. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. It's our responsibility to do that because they are the windows that open, or the doors that open up what we allow into our hearts. What we see, we often think. What we hear, we often repeat. And we think about that. We need to do something that filters that. If the members of our bodies are used as instruments of righteousness, then we are laying the acceptable sacrifice of daily living upon the altar of God. And here's the thing. All our offerings are made through our high priest. The Hebrew writer says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, He is our high priest. And I think about Him and understanding this, He is the perfect high priest. He is our mediator. And so whatever we do in word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And going through our high priest, it's giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's understanding He's the one that is in that holy place now, the holiest of holies for us. But we bring the sacrifice to Him because He has been our perfect sacrifice. And it makes us a spiritual house. A house of living stones. That when I consider this, that every child of God who is offering themselves up a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, that we are all part of that same spiritual house. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house, the holy priesthood, to offer up what type of sacrifices? Spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What we have done here today in our worship, in our assembly, when we offered up the fruit of our lips to the Lord in song and in prayer, those are spiritual sacrifices. Even though we may do them physically, they're spiritual sacrifices. Your living outside of the assembly here on a daily basis, whether you're in college, whether you're in high school or grade school, at work, or whether you're enjoying retirement, that life that you live now, that life that you offer up to God, is a living spiritual sacrifice. And therefore this house is a spiritual house that we're a part of. We are part of the Lord's church, that church that belongs to God, that church that was redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as Paul tells Timothy, write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And so Jesus Christ is the high priest over the house of God. Offer sacrifice to Him, that is, to our God, that is acceptable. And since our sacrifices must be offered through our great high priest, and since He is the priest over the house of God, the church, and since the church is the spiritual house which is built to offer sacrifices to God, it only follows that only the members of the Lord's body, the church, have the right and the privilege of offering such sacrifices to God. Now I want to ask you three questions, and the lesson is yours. The first one is this: are you a part of God's house? Are you one of His living stones? Are you part of His royal priesthood? That's more than three questions. I realize that because I've got the other two here on the screen. But do you have the right to go to God through Christ? Have you presented your body as a living sacrifice to God? Well, what I want to suggest to you then is, if you've answered those questions no, then what are you waiting on? If you've answered those questions, well, I think so, then maybe your heart's not where it needs to be. If you answer the questions, well, I once was, then it's time to come home. The invitation that is offered as an opportunity for you to present yourself to God the way He wants you to be presented. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you're not part of His house yet. You haven't given you're not offered a living sacrifice just yet. But you can do that beginning today. If you're willing to obey the words of Jesus Christ and believe that He is the Son of God, repent of your sins, confessing before men, and be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins, then you can rise and walk in newness of life, and you can then begin living a sacrificial life to the Lord daily and keep it pure. Live faithfully till the end of your life, and you will receive a crown of life. Eternity with the Father. Heaven is our goal. Can we help you achieve that goal? If you strayed from God, you also need to reconcile your life today to Him. If it's been done, what you've done has been private, then go to Him, confess your sin to Him. He'll forgive you of your sins. If it's something you've done public and you need help with, we stand ready to assist you. But won't you let it be known how we can help you this morning in your soul's salvation? As together we stand and as we sing.